We're with Michael Horn talking about the prophecies of Billy Meier, and it's amazing, and we're going to get to your calls, too, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Michael Horn with us, of course, and as we talk about the prophecies of Billy Meier. Michael, I just like to sit back and listen to you talk about them. They're fascinating for me.
Well, thanks. You know, George, it fascinated me and continues to. And actually, at this point, it worries me. While we were waiting, I brought up something. I think on my last presentation, I told you I'd made a presentation at a university here, Northern Arizona University. And what happened was I had gone a year and a half ago to a presentation, all-day presentation at the university of skeptics, professional skeptics. And I thought this would be great because I want to hear how other people think about things. And actually, you know, they're going to say things about UFOs and what have you. And I went and I brought a camera and I actually got an interesting, really interesting clip that I've included in one of my films. But I saw a professor who was one of the featured speakers. And the first thing he said when he got up was, I always tell my students right away, don't bring me your beliefs. I want facts. I want things that are solid. Whatever you believe is fine, believe it at home. So I thought, I got to meet this guy. I looked around after he was done, and a lot of people, he was gone. A few months later, I went down to a little coffee house. I wanted to do some singing because I'm a songwriter. And I'm sitting there with my guitar, and he walks in the door with his guitar. Now, we don't know each other, but I wave him over to sit down. And to make a long story short, I said, hey, I saw your presentation. It was great. I'm involved with something controversial. Would you look at it? And he said to me, look, like I said, I'm a tough nut to crack. Don't send me anything that I'm going to, you know, waste my... I said, you decide. Here it is. So 4 months back and forth we went. I sent him Meier's. He not only did he have me come in, I did my second presentation in March for his class, but this is an email he sent me right after the Paris bombings, which was right around the time I did my presentation. He said, he was referring to something, he said, more on this later, but guess what the first thing I said to my wife was when we heard about the Paris bombing?
Yeah.
I knew exactly. This one was on its way. Thanks. I had sent him Meier's information, forewarning. As a matter of fact, I then went and looked at one of my early DVDs called The Meier Contacts, The Key to Our Future Survival, 2004, and I had it in there too, which I put into my last film, the When Truth Prevails. So we have here, Meier's published this stuff in advance. I started to put it on DVDs in 2004. I've had things on my website since 2002. Bottom line, we're calling out to people to start, you know, calming down and thinking. There are, as many guests on your show point out, and you speak about it, there are powers that be that have not the best interest in mind for people. There's a difference, and I think we all know this, between government, the people, the country. And we love this country. We love people. We don't always love the government because it oftentimes just attracts a lot of psychopaths. Pardon me, but look where we're at. So when we go back to what Meier made his film about that I stuck on my channel a year ago in June, do not provoke Russia. They're not looking for a fight with you. They're not looking for war. There is a guy, and remember in the beginning of the show, I said things kind of went topsy-turvy because I was sitting here and I happened to come to a page. There's a guy named Paul Craig Roberts. You may know of him. He was formerly in the Reagan administration. And he's a very bright guy. He's an economist. He's a journalist. I just read two pieces on his website, and I've linked them from my own blog today. Today, I wrote a critical blog about our policies. He's basically warning about these same things. Some of these people now, there's a guy named Will Bonner, who's a financial analyst. He's warning about these things. So the difference here is that Meier, at age 7, has told all this stuff decades before it will occur. And there's so much more to it because this isn't just about, well, let's give people scary prophecies. Let's let them know what happens according to the immutable law of cause and effect if we do not course correct in time. How do we do it? Aha, that's part 3 of the Meier case. It's called The Spiritual Teaching. I frankly, personally think it's not the best title because it conjures up belief systems, which it isn't. It's how to proceed with thinking and living and feeling and acting in ways that do not create catastrophes in our lives, individually and collectively. And it's there isn't anything to believe. It's like, well, test this out. What if we start to learn to think and pay attention to what to all the influences that push on us and decide in our own consciousness, in our own minds, what we feel, what we think, what we want to do? It's going to be a very painstakingly long process. Well, we've been warned.
I was going to say, Michael, some of his prophecies are pretty darn disturbing. You've said, they're just prophecies, but he's got a high percentage of accuracy, does he not?
I haven't let me just, as close as I can say it, I haven't found yet wrong information. Now, of course, there's a lot of stuff that hasn't yet unfolded, but like in 1958, when he says the United States of America will have two wars with Iraq, two Gulf wars, the second war will be led by a president who will be the son of a former president. I mean, he spelled that out in 58, but he was told that in 44 by Spott. Now, we can say impossible, how can that be? But really, if people, and this is why we're not handed everything on a silver platter and it's made so convenient. We have to think through it. Because if we just do believe something like this, we're no better off than if we refuse to look at it critically. I haven't found erroneous, especially scientific and world event-related information. They have said certain projections that they made as prophecies have taken a different turn in terms of time. And one prophecy they say isn't being fulfilled, and I don't have more detail, is about the current pope. He may not be the last pope. He may not be the one that all these prophecies, not only from Meyer, but other people, are about. But everything else, in 1987, Meyer says, the Russians will move their troops to Arkhangelsk, where they will prepare for their attacks against Scandinavia. And ultimately, Iran, Turkey, and the United States of America, if we keep pushing. Now, 4 years ago, the Russians moved their troops to Arkhangelsk 10 years after this was already online, and something like 25 years after he published it. So if we are smart people, we don't just swallow it whole cloth. We go, whoa, wait a minute. Yes, you can read all this for free. It's on my website. It's on sites linked from it for free. How's that, folks? You can send questions. I will answer everything in time. I answer all my email. It just takes a long time. And yes, if you really want to see all the films, I did something radical. This is my big pitch. I made 7 of my Meyer documentaries available for the same cost as a download as if you'd buy 2 DVDs. Like, there's links from your site, George.
Yes.
People can find this if they want it. But right now, it's more important that people get into this and go, okay, let me test it. Let me search. Let me think. Let me see. Because then nobody's asking anything of us. Nobody's invading.
Has Billy Michael, though, ever seen a time where the world is so topsy-turvy?
No, we are entering a period that if we do not course correct now, it will literally be hundreds of years of very, very difficult times for all those people, those who follow us. The environmental destruction that he warned about beginning in 51, that he was told about in 44, that is upon us. We're not being told the truth about the actual magnitude. All the stuff we do, it's like cosmetic. Now, we don't understand. The conveyor belt of the ocean may slow down. I don't want to do this. It's not right to do, just the doom and gloom part. I want to emphasize that we can, as individuals, as groups of people coming together to think, to study, to ponder, to be creative, to make our individual and collective lives better, to try to course correct wherever we can. There are some things that we won't be able to avoid. That's all. We missed it. But there may be other things that we can say, okay, hey, let's buck it up here and start to get this back on track. It's going to take time.
It is. Let's take some calls, Michael. They're lining up for you. Let's start it with Mike in Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, George, this is Mike in Livermore, but I'm in Nashville.
Oh, well, good for you. You're moving. What are you doing in Nashville?
Driving my daughter and grandson to North Carolina, and hopefully be there tomorrow.
All right, well, you be careful, but go ahead.
Anyway, questions, religious nature, Pope, Vatican, and the alien connection. I don't know if you talked about that yet.
Just a little.
One world order, one world religion, if he made any predictions on that, and if that was going to be headed up by the Pope or the Catholic Church.
All right, okay. Michael, that's a fair enough question. Go ahead.
Sure. The immediate danger right now, as I understand it, in terms of centralizing power, is the EU. Merkel, actually, they have said her actual agenda is to destroy Germany and Europe. Now, there are other people now that are writing about that, but they said that some time ago. The danger here is of that kind of a, you know, globalized movement. There's all the globalists are trying, and there's many people, there's different factions. It's not like just one party's out there to enslave the world. A lot of power-hungry people that would like to do it. If we keep on supporting the EU and Merkel and pushing on Russia, what comes in the prophecies, then the EU, if it gets stronger, it will lead the way with the U.S. in biochipping everybody. Ultimately, Europeans ultimately will start to react against it. There's more information from 87 about how that will go. But then the danger is that the attacks on Europe will come not only from within, from radical Islam, we must say, Islamists. This isn't all Muslims by a long shot. From radical Islam, but then it looks like Russia and China come from the east because of the provocation, you know, north and east because of the provocation. So we have to, you know, start telling our government, we don't want that.
I'm losing you again, Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Russians have never attacked us. They're not interested in attacking Europe. There was a Washington-fomented uprising in Ukraine. I have linked to articles where even one of the former NATO commanders was talking about how to provoke Russia. We folks have got to wake up. We're doing things that are going to come back on us. We don't deserve that. We've got enough grief. This is what they're talking about. So in terms of the Vatican, it is going to eventually fall, according to these prophecies, and you've read that in other places as
well. We've read that in other places, too. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, they've spelled out certain things, not in great depth. There will be the eruption of Vesuvius at some point in the future. I don't know how near or far that will also physically destroy much of the area where the Vatican is, and people laughed at that when Meyer published it because they said, well, that's too far away in Naples. And then a few years ago, there's a scientific discovery that there's magma chambers from Vesuvius under Rome.
Wow. Does he say anything about California or anything like that?
When I spoke with Billy, first of all, there will be a mega quake. This already was reported by the investigators in 78. Meyer showed them 11 photographs of the destruction of San Francisco, which would come first before the state thing. There's going to be the Northwest quake that our scientists now know years after Meyer verifiably published it, because it's been on my site before OSU had it. But the one in San Francisco, Meyer gave 11 photographs to be viewed by the investigators and some of the other people there. They wrote about it. The one discernible feature, because Meyer said, I cannot tell you when this happens, they looked at the cars in the street. Many of them did not have external rearview mirrors. Hello, Tesla, Mercedes, Toyota are developing those now. So in 78, when Wendell Stevens said they don't look like the cars of today, they're rounder, there's more glass, no external mirrors. Well, how? They weren't paintings the guy was looking at, 11 photographs. He says the city was in ruins, smoke and fire everywhere. And, you know, I would just simply say as those cars start to come out without the rearview mirrors, side view mirrors, I think maybe if you're living in that area, you might want to consider moving inland a bit. I mean, I know how this stuff sounds, but this stuff has been in print for decades. So what do we do? Laugh it off? Or do we say, well, wait a minute, somebody's trying to help us, but we They're making us work because this is our world. This is our survival. And either we take it seriously enough to dig in and to challenge and question and press on it, and then we make up our own minds. I'm not going to twist arms. It means enough to me to say, hey, I want to pound on your door and I say, I think I see a fire in your basement. Wake up and check it out. And my personal goal is to prove the prophecies wrong. I'm not doing a great job at that.
Well, they are what they are. Let's go to Sam in Delaware. Go ahead, Sam. Welcome to the show. Sam, you still with us? Goodbye, Sam. Let's go to Joe in the Bronx, though. He's always with us.
How you doing, George?
Good, Joe.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to ask Michael Horn. Now, concerning the fact that the U.S. has not won a war in a while, what does Billy Myers say about that? Will that change anytime soon?
Or does he? Does he say anything about our involvement in wars, Michael?
Yes, quite a bit. And what Joe just said is echoed by Paul Craig Roberts, who points out that only these small skirmishes really have been won by the U.S. They are extremely blunt, brutal, and harsh about the U.S. and wars. And right in those Tanakh prophecies from 1987, they're saying America will be a country of destruction because of its global, you know, desires to bring countries and to wage wars. There have been over 200 unprovoked acts of aggression since the Second World War. Paul Craig Roberts, this is why I'm mentioning this guy. He pointed that out today. I published it on my website in 2007. We've got to realize nobody's attacking us. I put up a sarcastic blog about how we repelled attacks from Canada and Mexico. And I did that because we have the biggest military budget in the whole world, and nobody's attacking us. We're running around arming everybody, attacking and fomenting trouble, and we've got to come to our senses. There's something called the law of cause and effect. It can't be cheated. We can wave our flags and scream how great we are, but if we really are on the wrong course, that pendulum comes back as a wrecking ball, and it doesn't care what flag, what country. It comes back many places, and this will be one if we do not change.
The planet's on the wrong course, isn't it?
Well, this is, look, global warming and climate change, these are natural manifestations, but as Meyer said, it's now 75% man-made causes, and this is what he was being told in 1944. This is what he published in 51 as a 14-year-old boy, in 58, in 64, in 87. We are not getting it. You know, there's only so many organisms you can keep on putting into a finite space and then expect that the planet, which has its own rhythms, its own cycles, is supposed to produce enough food, be able to dispose of all the waste, absorb, assimilate, have an environment, an atmosphere, and water bodies that remain clean when we dump radioactivity and oil into them. Meyer was given all the information on Fukushima, which is only now coming out. He was told 5 days after it happened. The BP disaster, we illustrated. We've got a comic book online showing it. And now, years after that, new scientific things come out saying, well, you know, the stuff is settled to the bottom of the ocean. We illustrated that.
Michael, we're going to come back and take some final calls with you and wrap up the prophecies of Billy Meyer next on Coast to Coast AM. Boy, that song tears me up. Wow. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Next hour, we're going to talk about some breakthroughs with pyramid research. And, of course, I do want to talk to you about our live event Saturday, August 27th in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm really looking forward to this. It's a great event. We've got William Forstchen talking about solar flares and EMPs, Joshua P. Warren about his paranormal work. Ufologist Micah Hanks will join us too. And also a special surprise, Tom Danheiser.
We are getting so excited. You know, even I talked to the guys in the crew just a couple days, and they're excited we're coming down there. So we've got this piece of wreckage that was found at the Roswell site.
And Back in 47.
And the only way Josh, it's in his museum now, the only way he would let me display it is if I hired armed policemen to guard it. I mean, it's that cool. So people can come on down and get their pictures taken with it and touch it. I even hear that there might be a special little kind of showing of Robert the Doll.
Really?
Yeah.
A replica of?
I don't know, but this is going to be cool.
Tell me he's going to bring the real thing there. I ain't going to be there.
Right next to you, George. You're going to hold
And him. How is my band coming along with my songs?
They're coming along fine. You're going to enjoy them. People will enjoy them coming down. We're working on a special musical act that I can't talk about right now because it's only about 90%, but it's going to be cool if it comes through. So this is going to be a really spectacular show.
Tickets on sale through our website, coasttocoastam.com. You will see the picture of the Asheville event. It's right there in the highlight reel. You click that, then look where it says tickets, click that, and then, you know, just spend a little time on the website, and you'll be able to pick out your own seats, and they are going fast. So just go to coasttocoastam.com. Welcome back. It's our final segment with Michael Horn as we talk about the Billy Meyer contacts. And if you haven't seen the pictures, go to Michael's website, look at the documentaries as well. I have looked at these for years, and they are truly remarkable. And I got to tell you, Michael, I, with a little magnifying glass, would try to look for a string or something. They're not there. I cannot catch the guy.
No strings. Well, you know, this brings me to a point, because I know that you had Seth Shostak spoke with you at the beginning of the
yeah.
show, and for 10 years I have sent Seti all this information. You know, Seti has to maybe consider the fact that if extraterrestrials want to contact them, they will. In the meantime, maybe as a responsibility to the humanity on this world, Seti will challenge the Meyer case, will force us to prove, you know, that these photos are real and all the rest of it. And I would say the same for Michio Kaku and Neil deGrasse Tyson. These are prominent scientists who are in it with us. We are all in it together. And as you may know, Meyer warned about what we call asteroid Apophis. He published information, they called it at the time, the red meteor.
Mm-hmm.
We illustrated that online. We've got it. And NASA said, no problem. NASA, in the last 2 years, revised their own size estimates to within 75 meters of what Meyer verifiably published beforehand. This is going to hit in the area of Eastern Europe. The Russians have taken that warning seriously, and they're calling for a joint effort to deflect it, which is exactly what the Pléiades said. So, you know, there are some people that listen. I wish SETI would also listen, because this is, it's more important that we come together and know the truth. If somebody's out there trying to help us, good gosh, can we get off our egos long enough to take it seriously? And I think your listeners are more inclined to do it.
Oh, they are.
Wanted scientists.
Absolutely.
And they can do it for free. They can come to the website and the blog and ask questions and look at stuff to their heart's content and see if it makes sense that the case may be authentic and that there are answers as much as we can address at this time. So I'll stop in case there's anybody else who's called in.
And Matty, we've got a whole bank of calls here, but how many times has Billy been shot at?
September 6th of last year was the 23rd.
Jeez! Who's trying to do him in, Michael?
Well, there are people, now it's mainly people that are, let's say, highly fundamentalist in their religion and who are troubled by him. I know the man who was with him at the time as well, who narrowly missed getting the bullet in his own head. Meyer and he were standing together. They just come out of the computer room, and the bullet ended up going into a tree. That was the 23rd attempt on his life. So for a guy that's supposedly hoaxing all this stuff, there's some folks out there that are really troubled by it.
Really? I mean, and is this high-powered scoped rifles that are shooting at him?
Well, in this case, what Meyer was told by the Pléiades was, fortunately, it was someone shooting with a what I guess was equivalent of a .22, and who was not a professional assassin. He, from the way it went down, but he came darn close enough to killing one or either or both.
Right, a pro assassin would have gotten him by now, I think.
More than likely, although there have been some in the past who were professionals from Secret Services, but they were also. Meyer had some protection at the time from the Pléiades. He told me again about how he and Wendell were sitting when one of the early assassination attempts happened, and how he had fallen forward at the same time that there was this cracking sound. The bullet hits the wall, and he said Wendell got up, and he said, "I've never seen anybody move as fast as Wendell getting out of the way," because it was scary for him. You know, I mean, it was like, hey, you're sitting here with this guy, and bang, somebody's trying to kill us. So these things happen in his life, and it's just
part of the history of the whole gig.
All right, let's go out to Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Ed's with us now. Hey, Ed, go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. George.
Sure thing.
Great show, you and Michael. I've been following the Edward Meyer thing for about 33 years. I have VHS tapes of his 8mm projectors from way back then.
Wow.
And two hardcover books that were I believe it, that he it was written by him getting automatic rifle, writing from a sannyasi, an automatic rifle, writing, I keep talking about assassination. At any rate, and her predictions I have about that he had wrote 30 some years ago when I bought the books, most have come true, except one is disappointing is that she told him around 2000, the year 2000, that there would be a visitation from not them, but some other further out in the galaxy, ETs who would make their presence known over the American television. They would make their presence known, and they would be contacting us over American television, which Edward Meyer was really down in the mouth about because he did not like America, does not for some reason, that she said.
What happened, Ed, was that the Pléyaren advised those people to not come forward because that was just before also the 9/11 and the Iraq War. So that basically canceled out the opportunity for contact. Contact had been offered by the Pléyaren to the Carter administration in 1979 also, and Jimmy Carter turned it down.
Oh, really? Wow.
And by one other quick thing, well, I have it on my mind, just moments ago, George had a commercial for the, financial thing and all. On YouTube in 2006, I uploaded a video after I got back from Switzerland where Billy said to me, if things go a certain way in America, you may as well roll cigarettes with your paper money. So that's just to throw it in. Now, 10 years later, I think we're finding more concern about the financial future.
Starting to sound like the Amaro.
Yeah, it may be. Ed, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. With how's Billy's health right now, Michael?
After I was there last year, a week after I met with him and filmed him, he had a heart valve replacement operation.
Jeez.
He's 79 now, so that's he has to take a bit slower, but he still has the contacts. He still transcribes them. Some of them are quite lengthy. One of them, as I told you, there's 15 pages of information on the history of these peoples and their own madness before they straighten themselves out, and then the information about his childhood contact. So he also has some trouble with his arm. He has one arm, and there was something he said the Pléyaren helped take the pain away, but there's something where he can't use it as well as he used to. So he's a guy, by the way, who's absolutely non-self-pitying. He just carries on,
He's a tough guy.
He's
a tough guy. Jeff in Culver City. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, how you doing, George and Mr. Horn? Very quickly, yes, it's very strange that you mentioned, Mr. Horn, that this small child, Billy Myers, was quote-unquote influenced by a 100-year-old man, some strange priest. And this sounds very much like repressed childhood trauma related to some type of possible or probable child molesting activity. But I remember that a guy named David Eckert, who was on the Conscious Life Network, he mentioned something about extreme and severe childhood trauma, not necessarily involving child abuse, molestation, or other perversions. But Mr. Eckert said that certain children who are subjected to severe childhood trauma will basically go into another world within their own minds to relieve the pain of that trauma, and as a result, sometimes receive unbelievable insight or information from whoever or whomever was talking to them. But my question is this, Mr. Horn. Do you believe that the child actually ventured into another realm within the universe, or was it only just a figment of his imagination due to some type of psychological memory blockage or repression of his mental faculties?
Let me try to answer you in the time permitted. We have over 1,200 clear daytime photos primarily of up to four of the craft, eight films of video, metal alloy samples turned over to IBM, four different sound recordings analyzed even at our own Naval Undersea Labs. I happen to also have met one of the other sound engineers, Nils Rognerud, who recently tried to duplicate the sounds because he was one of the engineers who said they couldn't back in the 80s, and he says he couldn't duplicate them recently. He tried that again. I'd say that while what you've described can certainly be a psychological factor for some people, and there's some terrible things that happen and people retreat into other worlds, they don't tend to come back with evidence, and you know, people aren't trying to shoot them, and they're not trying to bring peace, love, freedom, and harmony to the world and write, you know, fantastic books and publish 26,000 pages of information. So we counterbalance that and say, I understand what you said, but it doesn't apply in this case.
All right, thanks. Kenny in Fairbanks, Alaska now. You're up with us, Kenny. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing today?
Good, Kenny.
Good to be in contact with you again.
Thank you.
Yes, I was just wanting to tell your guest tonight, great show, man. I've seen a lot of the photos of Billy Myers and stuff, and it's pretty unbelievable. I just want to comment and say that my wife and I, on a trip that we were given the luxury to take to go visit my parents about 4 years ago, we were flying over Denali Mountain, and it was a beautiful day, and we were able to take pictures of the peak of the mountain with no clouds. When we took a look out of our phone camera at the pictures, there was an object that we did not see with the visible eye out of the window of our airplane. And the object that we saw was a black semi-triangular craft with a bubble on top, similar to the ones that Billy has in his photographs. And not only that, there were multiple shaded images. And when you kind of blew it up onto the computer screen, you could actually see shapes inside there with little points and triangular shapes. And there was not only just a couple, there were literally almost 100 of them over the top of Denali Peak. And we do have the photographs still saved.
Well, you got to get them to us. Go ahead, Michael. And that, of course, is near Mount McKinley. Go ahead.
Right. I was just going to say there's two factors. One, as many of us know, a lot of the secret military craft are triangular in shape, and they have now certain types of radar and things that can help to obscure them. The other point is one of the extraterrestrial races, groups, rather, of an extraterrestrial race, supposedly also has some triangular craft. So it's possible that Kenny got that, and I hope that he'll forward photographs to you, George, and also to me. I'd be very curious, and I'd forward them then to Switzerland and see if they have any answers or opinions for us.
Great. And before we take final calls, Michael, do give out your websites and where people can see some of your films and books.
Sure, thanks. I have theyfly.com and theyflyblog.com. And, George, you guys were nice enough to put links on your site to my website, my blog, and a couple places where I've got some special offers. As I mentioned before, I've got, you know, DVDs. I've got some that were just represented, as a matter of fact, at the Cannes Film Market, award-winning films that will go into broader distribution. Get them now before they get out there. And then there's a great deal on downloadable films. You can have just about everything for almost nothing. That's my pitch. So let's see if anybody else has a question.
Debbie in the Bronx. Hi, Deb. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Great.
Hello, Michael.
Thank you.
Great show. Michael, you said a term, cause correction, and you're so right. George had a guest, and she was also using the term burning logs. I wanted to share a message that I received. I received this in 2015, and it goes as follows. The next five will decide, does mankind live, die, or unite to survive? Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Good night.
You got it. You got it. It's a good point. Very poignant. Go ahead, Michael.
You know, to Debbie, it's an interesting thing because years ago it occurred to me that the word unite, if you take the I and move it around, you get untie. So where will I be? Do I untie or do I unite? You know, so just playing with that. Anyway.
Jay in Florida. Hi, Jay. We got you in here.
Yeah, Yes, good morning, and happy 4th of July
you
to
too.
Both you and Michael, and thank you for your service, George.
Thank you.
Okay, this is from an article that is all over online. They sum it up in two parts, but it coincides a lot with what he's saying. It's from an ex-Illuminati member, and he says that a key thing is they will be to, for the New World Order will be to take our guns away. Things will either be so bad or something will be orchestrated so bad that the election will be canceled and Obama will be president for a third term in many years to come. Something will happen that will kick off World War III that will go on for at least 7 years. And there will also be civil wars in countries, including possibly our own. What will bring this to an end will be alien invasions worldwide, and this will be the only thing that will get us to stop fighting each other and come against the new common enemy. And this will also be key that they will use to usher in the New World Order. And I didn't know if you wanted me to go into details about more of with the New World Order.
The idea of an alien invasion is another fabrication that could still happen because it would be used to create martial law and all that. Meyer told me that years ago. All this other stuff, you know, things can happen. But just as I am talking about things that have been published and warnings, the bottom line of this is that we want to come back and learn how to take over personal self-responsibility for our thinking, what we feel, how we think, how we act, what we prefer, and cut out the noise and static as best we can. It is going to be a challenging ride from here on out. Everybody knows that. And if we just panic and freak out and fall into, you know, hostilities with everybody, then it just all degrades. This is going to require careful thinking. And I'm not a religious person. I would say if people resonate with the idea of the golden rule, of doing unto others what they would have done unto them, if they look to be self-responsible and careful, what more can we ask except to try to establish again love, peace, freedom, and harmony within ourselves and within those around us, and let that spread out. And I invite you to send your thoughts and do all the stuff that's free on my site.
Michael, once again, thank you. Tom's going to talk with you about our Beyond Belief TV show and get you up to Denver to do one, okay?
I'd be delighted.
Okay. Michael Horn, all information on Michael, of course, is at our website at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back in a moment, some breaking news about pyramids. We're going to be talking about that for a couple hours right here on Coast to Coast AM.